Today on Real Radio.
And we do that in our lives often as Christians. We're veiled. Oh God, show me your will. If I just knew your will. He already spoke his will to us. It's in the Bible. Maybe we're actually saying, I don't know how to find his will. I don't know how to know his will. When we read the Bible, God reveals his will to us. We often cry that we don't know the direction of the Lord, and we cry out to him for a new direction when the old direction that he gave us is eternal, holy, and just and true. Oh, give me a new word. Why does God give you a new word for it when we have the old word? Oh, I just need a new revelation. We can't even follow the old revelation.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges, a narrative that describes Israel being in conflict against her neighbors. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his opening presentation of this series called Time for a New Direction.
That's what it's come down to. Everything else is all a bunch of peripheral stuff. It's back down to exactly what happened at Mount Carmel. It's the moon god versus the god of heaven and earth. It's ancient Babylonianism versus the eternal God. The God of the Bible is not the God of the Quran. And if you're a Muslim here tonight, or if you know a Muslim, you don't ever want to insult them by saying that the God of the Quran is the same God of the Bible, or the God of the Bible is the same God as the Quran. They will be offended because they know it is not true. It's not the same God. They're completely different in character and in conduct and in message. But if you listen again to the modern news media, they will try to tell you that we all serve the same God. If we all serve the same God, then what in the world is going on? Huh? If we all serve the same God, why don't we just hug one another? And if we all serve the same God, why doesn't the message of this God be the same? Because it's not. 2,293 times does the name Israel appear in the Bible, not once in the Quran. Not once. 2,565 times, listen to this. Now, out of Jerusalem, the name of the city Jerusalem, by the way, it's the most mentioned city in the Bible. Babylon's the second largest or second most mentioned city in the Bible. Jerusalem is mentioned 811 times in the Bible. Not once in the Quran is Jerusalem mentioned. Not once. Just keep that in mind, because as you go through this book, you are going to be encountering the Canaanites. Who are they? What did they worship? Where did they get their worship practices from? Even though the Canaanites predate Islam and the message of Muhammad by millennia, it goes back to the ancient gods of Babylon. So there's always been a hatred towards Israel in the world. There's going to be. It's going to increase, says the Bible. There will always be a hatred against those who support Israel. That's always going to be true. That's not going to change. It will increase. And there will always be a hatred against the Bible. The Bible, mark these words, not that I'm a prophet, I just know it's coming. There'll be a greater hatred against the Bible as our days go on. There'll be a greater hatred, an anti-Semitic view against the Jewish nation and Jewish people as time goes on. And there's going to be a greater hatred against those who support the Bible. Christian, are you a Christian tonight? People are going to hate you for believing in the Bible and mock you and make fun of you. And we mentioned that on Sunday. But why? Because the issues that surround Israel are spiritual issues. Everything about the Jewish people and what we're going to be looking at in Judges and all of the things that you're going to be learning in these studies, what is it all about? Is it pure politics? Oh, no. Is it geography and borders? No. What's behind all that are spiritual issues. What's going on in the world today? Spiritual issues. Do you think for a moment that all of the stuff that's going on in the world with all of this violence and hatred and agenda is a mere political issue? I hope you're more awake than that. I mean, it's very, very spiritually driven issues all around the world. And it's increasing. Keep that in mind. Israel and the land of promise is something that will be greatly contended against. But remember this. It is God, the God of the Bible, who made the promises. Will you jot these down if you would? Again, this is all introduction. We'll get as far as we can tonight. So don't worry. We have nothing exactly planned. So if we get halfway through verse 1, we'll do great. The God of the Bible, Yahweh the Lord, says this, that he is the God of Israel, over and over again in the scripture. By the way, he says it, that he is the God of Israel 203 times in the Bible. I'll just give you a few of them. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Joshua 8, verse 30. Now Joshua built an altar to the God of Israel in Mount Ebal. Judges 5, 3. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, and I even sing to the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel, says the ancient Bible. And then New Testament, Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised them up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. It is the Bible that says, and this is interesting, it's all going to come together in these studies on Wednesday nights. The Lord God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, says the Bible. That's important. Nowhere in the Bible does the Lord God say that he's the God of Ishmael or Muhammad or Osama, for that matter. He doesn't say it. Whenever you pick up your Bible and whenever you go far back as you absolutely can, what do you hear? You hear God announcing that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus put it to us this way. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus did say about it. Jesus said concerning Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he says, God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And in that scripture there, Jesus was announcing that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive somewhere in eternity. We know where. And God is announced by Jesus here on earth that he's the God of the living. And that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Over and over again, says the scripture. That's very key. You need to understand the timeline of that. Before there was any of that stuff, you've got the God of eternity who announces to the world that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All this comes in the putting together of the book of Judges. Important. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8, there Moses writes, see, I've set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. For the nation, it was a time, though, of great transition when you come to the period of the judges. And a little bit of review on that is in Joshua 24. Listen to this. Joshua 24, verse 28. It says, so Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried Joshua within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-serah, which is in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, listen, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord, which the Lord had done for Israel, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of the land of Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought there from the sons of Hamor, in the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become the inheritance of the children of Joseph. All of these areas from ancient time, God was distributing his people and putting his people. And so we need to consider the glorious announcement to this. And listen, Christian, we need to keep this in mind, that when we talk about Joshua bringing the people into the promised land and then the subsequent rule or jurisdiction of these judges, remember this, that when you look to the Old Testament, what is in the Old Testament concealed I think it's G. Campbell Morgan who concocted this little thing. It's a great little way to look at it. Whatever is concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New. That's why your Old Testament and your New Testament does not contradict each other. That's why the Old Testament and the New Testament dovetail together. That's why, especially when you read Matthew's Gospel, that is written to the Jew, Matthew Levi is his name. And by the way, when you think about it, when a Jewish person opens up the New Testament, which they're not supposed to do, they're told not to read it. When they peek and they open up to Matthew, they find out, Matthew Levi, the guy's a Jew. The first book of the New Testament, which they believe is a pagan, terrible Gentile thing. Paul the Apostle says in the book of Romans, the veil of blindness is over their eyes so that they can't understand it right now, but that veil is going to be removed. But when they take a peek and they find out Matthew, Levi, and then there's the genealogy given, they know all those guys. Oh my goodness, we know these people. And that's why Matthew says that this happened as it was written in the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall conceive it. Are you with me? And he quotes the Old Testament. You look at the New Testament book of Matthew quoting the Old Testament to draw attention to the fact of the Jewish people that God has come and announced the gospel in the Word of God. It was in the old concealed. It was in the new revealed. Perfect agreement. So when you think of that, Joshua, who led the children of Israel, who believed, by the way, these are the children of those who died in the wilderness, they came into the promised land having believed in the message, and Joshua is a wonderful type of Jesus leading us into the promised land. You say, well, wait a minute, I have a problem with that promised land. If it's promised to the children of Israel, then why is there so much warfare? Well, let me ask you this. If Jesus is a type of Joshua to the New Testament believer, and we are now Christians and we're on our way to heaven, isn't it just perfect? And is it not encouraging for you to consider the fact that now that we are children of God and we've been grafted into the family of God, do we not struggle? Do we not have battles every day? Is there not wars to be fought in the spirit regarding temptation, regarding all the things that you and I struggle with? Absolutely. Man, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you're probably not a Christian. You and I used to sin up a storm before we were Christians, and we loved every moment of it. We made plans. Sometimes we made plans to sin a year out. And then we got saved. And then we canceled the plans. And then we didn't want to go sin anymore. But we noticed something else, like Dr. Harry Ironside talks about when he was coming across from Chicago to Glendale, California here on the train. They stopped in North or South Dakota, I forget where it was, South Dakota, and he preached a message at a train stop. And a big, big Blackfoot Indian of that tribe, the Blackfoot tribe, he was all into the message. He was worshiping the Lord, and Dr. Ironside was blown away that this Indian, barbarian compared to the people in Chicago, how does this guy know the gospel? What's the deal? And at the end of his message, he said, sir, you know the gospel? Oh, yes, I love Jesus. And Ironside was completely blown away. And he goes, well, you're so confident of your salvation and your position with the Lord. How do you know you're saved? He goes, oh, it's easy. Isn't that great? This old Indian man says, it's easy. He said, ever since I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, a dogfight started inside my body, inside my heart. A dogfight began. A dogfight. Yeah, there's a black dog and there's a white dog in my life, and they fight. Ever since I gave my heart to Christ, there's a fight going on inside. Black dog pulls one way, white dog pulls the other way. And Dr. Ironside writes in his book that he was amazed at that, of a great description of the battle, the internal battle of the Christian against the evil of the world. And Ironside said, I'm curious, which dog wins? And he says, oh, that's easy too. Whichever dog I feed the most wins. Isn't that brilliant? Whichever dog you feed the most wins. The Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. But if you sow to the things of the Spirit, you're going to reap life. Israel, in the time of the judges, would be given great opportunity, and you'll see them fail every time. They'll flop and fail. Instead of being delivered, they'll be defeated. And it shouldn't have been that way. And they'll go from one cycle to the next. And so who are these judges? We will find out that Israel was a loose confederacy of those tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel, and we'll see them led by these judges whom God had appointed. And a few things I want you to jot down before we dive into to our study tonight. Joshua would perhaps point out to them again, if he could come back and speak to them at this time, that the direction of their new reality was before them. And I'm going to have you write down four things. We should have them on the screen here. That the land had been given by promise. Can you jot that down? Because it's true about your life. The land had been given to the children of Israel by promise. That is, by the promise of God. You have been given the most valuable, awesome, there's no greater message, there's no greater book, there's no greater word that man could have than the Bible. You've been given the promises. The Bible says all the promises here in the scripture are yes and amen to us. But do we believe it? Next point, number two, it's this. It was given through grace. Did Israel do anything to earn the promised land? Not. In fact, they did everything to goof it up, didn't they? But it was given by promise. God keeps his promises. And it was given through grace. That is God's unmerited or unearned favor. Can I suggest to you tonight that your salvation and mine has been brought to us by grace? Church, Christian, friend, visitor, listen, if you think for a moment, do I have your attention? If you think for a moment that you have earned God's favor to save you because of how good you are, you, believe it or not, no matter how cute you feel about yourself, you are further from the kingdom of God than some mugger, rapist, maniac, bank robber, IRS tax collector. I'm dead serious. If you think you are so good that you're quite a trophy to God's kingdom, you are as far as you can possibly be from the kingdom of God, until you understand that it comes by the promise of God and that there is no way that through any merit I can earn entrance into the kingdom of heaven. If you are operating under that, and this is a very insidious monster of self-righteousness, that I'm not like the Jack, you don't know how much better I am than the people sitting around me. You are far from the kingdom. Well, I know for sure that guy over there, he's a ripoff. This guy's a bum. That guy over there, you're not to do that. Jesus warned about the person who stands on the street corner and says, oh, I thank you, God, I'm not like these people. Jesus said, I tell you, that man went away in his sin. But the man who said, oh, Lord, forgive me, and with his head hanging down, I'm not even holy or righteous enough to call out to you, let alone be saved by you. Jesus said, this man went away, justified. Number three, it was to be taken by force. And let me explain what that means. You guys, there is a force that without God is human. I say human driven. It's probably demonic, human driven force. That's not the kind of force I'm talking about. It was to be taken by force, meaning this. In fact, Jesus put it to us this way in the New Testament. The kingdom of God suffers violence, Jesus says, but the violent take it by force. Have you ever heard that verse in Scripture? What was he saying when Jesus said that? He's not talking about throwing bombs at people. He's not talking about strapping on suicide belts and screaming God is great and detonating yourself. He's not talking about that kind of force. He's not talking about an army. He's not talking about getting bombs and jets and tanks and soldiers. That's not what God does. That's not what he's talking about. This is a spiritual life and a spiritual work. And so it was to be taken by force, meaning, Lord, we are following you. The Christian, you and I today, we are to go into the promises of God boldly, strong, with confidence. Why? Because God is gracious and he keeps his promises. So when God says to the children of Israel, go into the promised land and drive out these pagan worshipers, God had his reasons why. But he said, I will drive them out before you. You follow me. That's what the Lord said. And today, for us as believers, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead and said to the women that he appeared to, go announce to the men, I go before them into Galilee. The Lord always goes before us before the work is to be done. Always. He always paves the way. Number four, it was to be done by faith. When God says what he says, we follow him. It was to be done by faith. So a time for a new direction in the book of Judges, the children of Israel would be calling out for that today if they were here right now, if we had our sandals on back in time like that. Mark this down if you would. We would want to announce to them, and we want to announce to ourselves, remember. First point tonight that we want to look at, and again, we'll get as far as we can. Remember, when someone calls for a time for a new direction, wait a minute. I have been given the Bible, the Word of God. I want to remember what it has said to me. Let's look at verse 1 together. Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, watch this, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? Just a little bit of news in advance. God had already told them who would go up and fight for them. Who do you think it was? It was the Lord. But they're questioning. From the very first verse to the end of this book, at the last verse, it ain't good. You say, well, I don't see what's wrong with that. From this, it's just one defeat after another when they are calling the shots. Who's going to go before? Hey, God. And we do that in our lives often as Christians. We're veiled. Oh, God, show me your will. If I just knew your will. He already spoke his will to us. It's in the Bible. Maybe we're actually saying, I don't know how to find his will. I don't know how to know his will. When we read the Bible, God reveals his will to us. We often cry that we don't know the direction of the Lord, and we cry out to him for a new direction when the old direction that he gave us is eternal, holy, and just, and true. Oh, give me a new word. Why does God give you a new word for it? When we have the old word, oh, I just need a new revelation. We can't even follow the old revelation. Oh, there's just a new thing going on. Hey, you know what? Let us master the old thing first. That'll take our lifetime, huh? When we consider this, to remember, if the children of Israel only would have remembered, if they would only have paid attention to what God had announced to them as a nation, from Egypt, through the wanderings, in the land with Joshua, the Lord said that they were his people.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Time for a New Direction. It's the first presentation of this series taken from the Book of Judges, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, we wrapped up Pastor Jack's examination of the New Testament letter to the Ephesians, and what we've done is placed that entire series all on one MP3 CD. So here's our offer for your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. We'll be happy to send you Pastor Jack's series in Ephesians. Whether you call, click, or write, be sure and indicate the Ephesians Study Series on MP3 CD. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.